sound file started. And here we go. Father, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word today. I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on the city of Hull. The work seems so pathetic and so weak, Lord, but it pleased you by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And this is preaching of the gospel, preaching of the word of God, preaching with a desire for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. So I pray, Father, that you would take the word and use it for your glory today. Have mercy upon this city, strengthen the preacher, cleanse me from my sin in Jesus' blood, glorify your Son. Have mercy at this time. Father, these things I ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I'll just turn the camera around, and then we'll be ready to go. Click some button there. Click some other button there. So here we are in Hull, just in case I've wiped out the first part of the video by accident. We'll see what happens. Well, it's my wonderful privilege to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. He is the only one that can deliver us from the wrath to come. He is the only one that can give us salvation. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for sinners such as you and I. He came into this world to deliver us from our sins. Now we read, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? I said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. John the Baptist, not worthy to unloose the shoes latchet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Getting some opposition from a guy next to me here who's begging. He's breaking the law and I'm not. And we read here in verse 17 of John's Gospel, chapter 1, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So Jesus, yes, I believe in life after death, and I believe that there is a judgment to come, a judgment of the just to everlasting life, and a judgment of the unjust to everlasting torment in hell fire. With your permission, or without it, I'm going to keep preaching this gospel. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. We read here, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now if we go back to the Old Testament and the first books of the Bible, we read the law of God. Some of you will have heard of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. Or the first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not take unto thee any graven image, and so on. Now these commandments are the law of God. And there are many people who think, they say if there is a God, believe me, there is a God. They think that if there is a God, they will be saved by keeping his commandments. But here we have something very strange in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ came into the world, something new happened, something different happened, something powerful happened, something wonderful happened. The Lord Jesus Christ is something which was different than telling us to be saved, to find peace with God by our own works. The truth is, by the works of the law, none of us can be saved. We have all broken God's commandments, and God is holy. He is pure. He dwells in unapproachable light. And God cannot tolerate sin, and God will not allow anything which is impure or is corrupt into his holy heaven. That's why the Bible says, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. They've all together become corrupt. So yes, you and I are corrupt. We are corrupt by nature, sin nature. That's what the Bible calls that. We are guilty before God. We are sinners. We have broken God's commandments. We have fallen short of his glory. And we cannot be saved by keeping his law. You will be judged on the day of judgment according to the law of God. He will measure you up against his commandments. You know, those commandments that you think you keep, those commandments you think that you measure up to, but God will say, why was it on such and such and such a day you told a lie? Why was it that you had all these impure and evil thoughts in your heart? And then there is the greatest sin of all, which is unbelief. Because the greatest commandment is that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. That means everything, every ounce, every drop of strength in our very being should be devoted to the true and living God. But we haven't done that. We have not done that. We have not honored God. We have not glorified his name. We have fallen into sin. We are guilty. We are corrupt. Lying, stealing, swearing, cursing, sexual immorality and sexual impurity, abortion, adultery, pornography, homosexuality, lesbianism, all of these things. And we need a Savior. We need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And we read here, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We need to repent. We need to repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls. Because if you don't know Jesus Christ, then you are lost. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you are damned and you are ruined and you are in your sins. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The Bible says, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Is that what we're doing in our hearts today? We're suppressing the truth. We read here, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the one who laid down his life in the place of sinners. Jesus Christ is the one who became a sacrifice for sin. And he loved sinners such as you and me. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was that man who loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength. The Lord Jesus Christ did not have to die. Yes, I know that he was taken by cruel hands and nailed to a cross in Roman times. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not have to die. The Lord Jesus Christ was that one who laid down his life in the place of sinners. He was pure. He was holy. He was spotless. He was righteous. He was altogether lovely. And the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ was that one who laid down his life. He did not have to die, but he loved sinners and gave himself for sinners. He freely laid down his life. He freely gave himself. He freely stretched out his hands and allowed cruel hands to nail his hands and his feet to that cross. No one could take his life from him. For the Lord Jesus was that eternal God who made heavens and earth. He had all power. All power belonged to him. And the Lord Jesus could easily have resisted all or any of us. The Lord Jesus could have defeated the entire human race in an instant if he chose to. But love took him to that cross. Love saw Jesus Christ nailed there. Love saw him stretch out his hands. Love saw him give himself the just for the unjust. Love saw him die in the place of sinners. And we read in the Bible that Jesus Christ, he loved sinners and gave himself for sinners. He endured the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before him. Before the Lord Jesus Christ was set, exceedingly great joy, knowing that by his death and by his sacrificing of himself and through his resurrection from the dead, because he is not dead, he is risen. The Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ endured the agony, the torments, the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before him, knowing that he would redeem back to God an innumerable company, so that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And to be saved from our sins, we need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not dead, he is risen. He is near at hand. He hears those who call on him. The Lord Jesus hears those who cry out to him. Jesus told us of a synagogue, and into that synagogue went a publican. A publican meant an unjust tax collector, a thief in other words, officially sanctioned by the Roman authorities. And the man went in who was a Pharisee, a religious man, very, very proud of his religion, very, very proud of his own works and the things that he had done, believing that he had pleased God. Now the Pharisee stood up and he said, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men." Is that you? You think you're better than others? You think you're good enough for God? We are not good enough for God. Only Jesus Christ is good enough for God. Only Jesus Christ can take away our sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver us from the wrath to come. But he says, if the Pharisee stood up and said, "I thank thee that I am not like other men," boasting about what he had done, but the publican, the thief, the unrighteous, the ungodly man, wouldn't even dare to lift up his eyes to heaven. But he looked down and he beat his breast and he cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Now I should ask you, my friends, who do you think God was most likely to accept? The Pharisee who tithed anise and cumin and other tiny amounts of herbs? The Pharisee who may have stood on street corners and made long prayers only to be impressed by men, only to gain the acclamation of men? The Pharisee who had status and standing in the synagogue at that time, or the church today? Who do you think God accepted? The Pharisee who was self-righteous and proud and who thought salvation was a matter of his own works? Or the vile man, the man who cried out for mercy, the man who sought the mercy of God, the man who sought not to be saved by his own works, but only through the mercy of God, and only through the goodness of God, and only through the work that Jesus Christ has done? Which of those two men, Jesus says, do you think was saved? Well, the answer is obvious, isn't it? The man who cried out to God for mercy received mercy. The man who thought he could be saved by his own works was left to his own works. The man who sought to be saved by the law was left to the law. Now, Jesus, and these are not very kind, they're not very good words, but they were accurate words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he saw the Pharisees of his day, he called them whited sepulchres. Whited sepulchres were beautiful buildings on the outside, but inside they contained the bones of dead men. And so it was with the Pharisees. On the outside they look respectable, on the outside they look good, on the outside they look clean. On the outside you might have thought that they were the ones that God would accept, but God looks at the heart and he says they are full of dead men's bones. Now listen to this verse again. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Pharisees sought to be saved by keeping the law. No one can be saved by the keeping of the law. The Bible says, "For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." But the Pharisee The Pharisee carried on in his fantasy that he would be saved by keeping the law. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And Jesus is full of grace and truth. Verse 17 of John's Gospel, chapter 1. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In other words, the salvation that comes from God is not by the law. It's not by what we've done. It's not by good works. We have nothing. Our good works are as filthy rags before Almighty God. Our good works cannot save us. We cannot be saved by keeping the law of God. The only way that we can be saved is if we find the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by grace and truth. And Jesus is the truth. And Jesus will save you if you find him. The Lord Jesus Christ will save you if you find him. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the one who delivers us from what is called the miry clay. I think it was David in the Psalms who spoke about sinking into the miry clay. Think about the mud in the Humber here. You wouldn't want to fall into it, would you? Well, maybe the miry clay was like that. Once you're in it, you get stuck. And the more you struggle, the deeper you sink. And that's what sin is like. Sin is like the miry clay. We struggle and we get deeper into it. We try to give up that addiction. We try to stop doing that thing. We try to do what's right. The Apostle Paul could say that when he tried to do what's right, he found a principle in his heart working in the opposite direction. It's what we call sin. It's what we call a sin nature. But the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, he is the one that delivers from sin. He is the one that lifts us out of the miry clay. And you might find that there are various teams around the country that rescue people from quicksand and quicksand. Thank God for them. But you see, the only person that can rescue us and the only person that can deliver us from our sin, from our miry clay, is the one who has paid the penalty for our sins. And that's what Jesus Christ was all about. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing on the cross of Calvary when he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary, when he loved sinners and gave himself for sinners on the cross of Calvary. So that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord might be saved. If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you turn from your sin and seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, you will find him. And if you find Jesus Christ, your sin is forgiven. You need to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is that only Savior and the only one who can deliver us from the wrath to come and the only one who can give us life. We all have souls, undying souls. We are not merely physical bodies. We have souls. We were created to glorify God, but the God who holds our breath in his hands, him we have not honored. That's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need a Savior. That is why we need someone to deliver us from the wrath to come. And Jesus is his name. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he was in heaven for eternal ages past. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who was in heaven for eternal ages past, came into this world. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth and worked as a carpenter and learned a trade. Then at the age of 30, he went forth preaching the kingdom of God. And Jesus is God. Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is his name. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be delivered from your sins. And you cannot know salvation from the wrath to come. And you cannot find that mercy that comes from Almighty God. There is no one else. When you die, you must go to judgment. When we die, we must stand before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ. And his word says, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is where you will end up if you do not find the salvation that comes from God. And you will find yourself in hellfire and torment for eternity. Yes.
You read that whole book.
A whole book, no.
The full book.
Oh, this full book, yes, many times.
How?
Well, I learned to read and then I read the Bible.
How long did it take you to read that?
Right, well, a lot of people read it once through every year. But what you need to do is you need to read it thoroughly and carefully, prayerfully, and study it. Because the whole of this book is about Jesus Christ. The whole of this book. You won't perhaps at first see it if you read Genesis, first of all, which is a wonderful book. But the whole of this book is about Jesus Christ. It's about how God sent his Son to take away our sins and how Jesus did that on the cross. So, yes, you can read the whole Bible, but I'd like to give you a copy of Mark's Gospel. And I'd like to give you one as well. This is part of the Bible. Start there. But as I say, the most important thing is that you read it carefully and prayerfully and you look for Jesus in it and see what he's saying. Because if you repent of your sin and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and who's near, then you'll have salvation for eternity.
John and Mark,
Do I have any... Sorry, that's the Gospel of Mark, yeah. I don't have any other Gospels on me at the moment, but you can get a Bible online or from a bookshop or anything, so thank you. Thank you for asking. Find the Lord Jesus and you will find life. Lord, have mercy upon those two boys. And, oh Lord, I pray that you would give them a real hunger for reading the Gospel and reading the Bible, Lord. And I pray that it would become the word of life to them. I pray that they would find mercy. I pray, Lord, that they would find life. And I pray that they would be amongst many in this city who are your people, just as there were many in Corinth, Lord. So, Jesus is the Saviour of the world. And he preached the kingdom of God. And he laid down his life willingly. The Lord Jesus gave himself for sinners, such as you and I. The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, which means that without a blood sacrifice, our sins remain upon us. In the Old Testament, there were endless blood sacrifices of bulls and goats and sheep and doves. But there is only one sacrifice that can take away sin, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why we speak of his blood shed for the remission of sins. We speak of his body broken in the place of sinners, so that those who are sinners who find Jesus Christ have salvation. Repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sexual immorality and sexual sin. Yes, that's sin. That's sin. Yes.
Christianity is now, for the first time ever, become a minority religion.
Well, that was announced in the papers yesterday, yes. Yes, even so, there are millions and millions and millions of Christians worldwide. And we can't judge Christianity by the United Kingdom. But, you know, we are a nation under the wrath of God. We need to repent and turn back to Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do as a nation.
I'm not a sinner, I'm a pretty lovely person.
Well, maybe you're a lovely person, but God says you're a sinner and you will be cast into hell. You'll be turned into hell because of your sins. If you don't repent and you don't believe on Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved.
But which one's that?
Jesus Christ, well, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever sworn? Have you ever got drunk? Have you ever taken drugs? Are you proud? Yes, you're proud. I'm not a sinner. I'm a really nice guy. God calls that unbearable, intolerable pride. And pride was the sin of the devil. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God, the Bible says. They are all together become corrupt. Rather than, you see, the human heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Your heart deceives you that you're good enough to stand before God. But God says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And if we don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't be saved. So you need to believe on him. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you are on the very verge of hell and you need to turn from your sins and find Jesus Christ. Well, this book is much older than that, and you'll find the gospel from Genesis to Revelation in this book. Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago, and he will very soon return on the clouds of heaven. All the signs we see in the world today are that Jesus will very soon return. So you're probably worried about thank you very much, about conspiracy theories and things like that. But you see, the truth is, there will be a one world government, there will be an Antichrist, there will be a judgment to come, there is a hell to come.
I am
so,
him.
Well, you have that spirit, sir, certainly, that's for sure. But the Lord Jesus Christ died to save us from these things. Very soon, I believe, there is a mark coming known as the mark of the beast. If you take that mark, you can never escape the fires of hell. But if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you remain as you are in your sins, you will be turned into hell. In order to be saved, we have to do something. We have to repent. We have to turn. We have to believe. We have to seek the Lord Jesus Christ until we find him. And John says in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We can't be saved without grace and truth. If we do not receive the grace of God and the truth of God, then there is no salvation for us. There is no deliverance from the wrath to come. There is no escape from the fires of hell. There is no hope of salvation. In order to be saved, we need grace and truth. We need the grace and truth that come from God, and Jesus Christ is the embodiment of that grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the one who is the truth. He's the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. But the Lord Jesus, my friends, all the grace of God, all the mercy of God, all the riches of God, all the goodness of God, unmerited, unwarranted, freely bestowed, freely given to unworthy, wretched sinners such as ourselves, is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of the grace of God is revealed in Jesus Christ. As a Christian, I stand here and I say that I am saved by grace alone. When we say that we are saved by grace alone, we are saying that we have no works that are of value before Almighty God. I have nothing that I can bring to God. I have nothing that God needs. I have nothing that will commend me to God, and my sins will drag me down to hell. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth are found in the Saviour in the world of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other place, there is no one else, there is no other name. Jesus alone is where we find the grace of God. Now if you go back 500 years to the time of the Reformation and the time of John Calvin and Martin Luther, there was a great explosion of knowledge about this doctrine. People had been taught that salvation was by works, that salvation was by the church, that you had to come through Mary or the saints, and all of these things were wrong. But what Luther rediscovered, what Calvin rediscovered, and many, many more, what Latimer and Ridley and Cranmer and Hooper and others and Bilney and others in England discovered, and John Knox in Scotland discovered, was that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. That our works mean nothing. There is nothing we can do. There is nothing that you can do to save yourself. We must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are trusting in ourselves at all, if we are trusting in ourselves to the smallest, the slightest, the faintest degree, then we are not saved. Because we are saying that we can be saved by our strength, that we have something to offer God. But if we are trusting in Jesus Christ alone, then we are trusting in the grace and in the truth of God, and we shall not be disappointed. As a Christian, I am trusting Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of my sins. As a Christian, I am not looking to anything that I've done. I'm not saying I have good works. I'm not saying I've been charitable. I'm not saying I'm kind. I'm not saying I'm lovely or nice or friendly or whatever. I'm saying I am saved by grace alone. I'm saying that my sins warrant an eternity in hell. I'm saying that my so-called good works are as filthy rags before Almighty God. I'm saying that therefore I need someone who is stronger than I am. Someone who is more powerful than me. Someone who is clean. Someone who is holy. Who has died in my place. That is Jesus Christ. And I'm also saying I need somebody who has the power to break the bonds of my sin. And that's Jesus Christ. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Jesus loved sinners just like us. And Jesus' love is manifested in his death upon the cross. So when you walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ, you walk away from the work that he did on the cross, you walk away from the love of God, you walk away from the mercy of God, you walk away from the salvation of God. And when you forsake the Lord Jesus Christ, you forsake your own mercies, because there is none other name other than Jesus Christ under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the Saviour of the world. Those who find him find life. He is not dead. He is risen. He is risen, ascended, reigning in heaven. And he reigns over the heavens and the earth. That's why he is able to save. That is why he is near at hand to those who call on him. That is why he can deliver you from the wrath to come and save you from your sins and have mercy on you. Because he is powerful and mighty to save. And there is no one who has ever come to Jesus Christ whom he has turned away. But we are, where is Jesus now? The Bible says, he says he's near at hand. Call on him, he's near at hand. Call on him, repent of your sins. The Lord Jesus is near at hand. Physically, the Lord Jesus Christ is located, he is seated on the throne of heaven. But he is Lord of heaven and earth, and he is near at hand to those who call on his name. And to those who call on him, to those who seek him, to those who believe on him, God has given the power to become the sons of God. That means God adopts us, wretched sinners, vile sinners, into his own family. It means that God does an extraordinary thing when he saves a sinner like you or me. That God does a remarkable thing by saving sinners. All the power of God unto salvation is revealed in Jesus Christ. It's revealed in his death and in his resurrection. And all of that power, it wasn't of our will. It wasn't that we decided how we could be saved. It was that God decided. That God decided. God the Father decided to send the Son. And God the Son chose to obey the Father and come into this world in loving obedience to his Father and lay down his life in the place of sinners. And God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, takes the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and he applies it to the hearts of sinners like you and me. So you see, apart from the power of God, it is impossible for us to be saved. And there is a wrath to come, and there is a judgment to come, and there is a hell to come. And there is a day coming when you must stand before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ and you must give an account. Swearing is a terrible, evil sin. Their throat is an open tomb, the Bible says. This man that was sitting here was swearing horribly. And yet he thinks that he will have favor with God. God will condemn the swearer to hell, the thief to hell, the fornicator to hell, the adulterer to hell. God will condemn the idolater to hell, the blasphemer to hell. He will condemn the religious to hell because his religion or her religion is vain. There are many religions in the world, but to be saved, we must find Jesus Christ. To be saved, we must find the one who is the way and the truth and the life. To be saved, we must find the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You simply will not find life, eternal life, anywhere else. It is to be found in Jesus Christ only and alone. But the good news is, it is to be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. He has the power to save. He has the power to forgive. He has the power to deliver. It was whilst we were yet sinners that Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the righteous. He didn't die for the just. There were none. There was no one who was righteous or just. The Lord Jesus died for sinners. He died for the unjust, the unholy, the impure, the unrighteous. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, laid down his life in the place of sinners. And he took it up again. He was resurrected by the power of God. And he ascended and he is reigning in heaven today. Jesus Christ was resurrected bodily. Death could not hold him. And on the third day, the tomb was empty. The angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Jesus Christ was alive." Now I ask you, there is no body else who has been resurrected other than Jesus Christ. But at the end of the age, there is a resurrection of the just to everlasting glory, and a resurrection of the unjust to everlasting torment. And the only difference is what we do with Jesus Christ. And you say, oh, if there's a resurrection to heaven, if there's a resurrection to glory, if there's a resurrection to righteousness, surely that will apply to me. No, it won't. It won't, because you do not know Jesus Christ. It won't, because you have not repented of your sins. It won't, because you have not believed the gospel of God. It won't, because you have not fled from the wrath to come. All you have to do to go to hell is to carry on in your sins. Carry on without Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Carry on in your rebellion. That's all you have to do, is to reject Jesus Christ. But to be saved, you must find Jesus Christ. To be delivered from the wrath to come, you need to find the Lord Jesus Christ and find that salvation which comes from Almighty God. And so we live in foolish days, we live in evil days, we live in dark days. Now in verse 17 of John's Gospel, chapter 1, we read, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Well, the Bible condemns homosexuality as sin. I said, you didn't hear me, you weren't listening. Yeah. The Bible condemns homosexuality as sin. There's no hiding that fact. There's no getting away from that fact. It calls it lust. Now, Jesus Christ came into the world. Hi, thank you.
Afternoon.
Thank you. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I am a sinner, and I am saved by the grace of God. And I have been bought with the immeasurable cost of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the salvation that I have, that is so immensely valuable to me, more valuable, more precious than heaven and earth, is offered to every single person in Hull here today. This salvation, which is of greater value than anything in this world, Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is of greater value, of greater worth. He is more precious, he is more lovely, he is more valuable to us than the whole world. And I can tell you this, the Christian who knows Jesus Christ has treasure in heaven. In this world, we can lose our treasure. I know that because it's happened to me. In this world, we can lose our treasure. But in the world to come, we can never lose our treasure. Jesus tells us that rather than laying up treasure in this world, we should lay up treasure in heaven. And Jesus is that treasure. The Christian says, I delight to know that the day will soon come when I will breathe my last, and I will go to be with Jesus Christ in heaven, in glory, in all that glory where God dwells. And then on that day when I go to heaven, there is no fear of God's wrath. There is no fear of judgment, because I have believed and my sins have been washed away and the judgment is taken from me, because Jesus paid for it all upon the cross of Calvary. And in that day, I can say I look forward to seeing the Lord Jesus. He is that very treasure of treasures. He is the pearl of great price. He is the one who has redeemed his people at immeasurable cost, at immeasurable price, at the price of laying down his own life, at the price of being the sin bearer, at the price of being forsaken by the Father, at the price of dying in the place of sinners, at the price of descending into hell. Oh, my dear friends, Jesus paid that price. And the treasure that we have in Jesus Christ is greater than jewels or gold or money or lands or anything in this world. People live for the things of this world. There is a man in this world who has great riches, but he is a pauper in the things of God. There is a man who has nothing in this world, but he has treasure in heaven. I would rather be that second man. I would rather be the man that has treasure in heaven, who knows Jesus Christ, who is assured of my salvation, who knows whom I have believed and am persuaded that he, Jesus, is able to keep that. That's my soul's well-being, to keep that which I've committed to him. I have committed my soul's well-being to Jesus Christ for eternity.
What's your name there?
David.
Alright.
Hi. Yeah. So when we find Jesus Christ, we find life and we find salvation.
Where's he then?
Well, the Lord Jesus is seated on the throne of heaven today, but the Bible says that if we call on him, he's near at hand. Mm. So if we cry out to Jesus Christ and we repent of our sins, he will save us from our sins. And he can do that because he's the Son of God and he died in the place of sinners. So,
well, I just got out of Old Crown Court today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they released me with nothing.
I was going to say you're a judge, are you? No. You're in the dock. Okay.
No money.
Yes.
No phone. No.
Okay.
I've been accused 3 times of something I ain't done.
Yes.
I used to be well to do. Myself and my nice family.
Yes. Yes.
All of a sudden it goes pizza on. I mean.
Yes.
When
yes.
The Bible says, I mean, when it says go forth and multiply, I did. I had 6 yes. kids. Nice big detached house.
Yeah.
Full
yeah.
of vans.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
I'm roaming around the streets homeless. And I'm a fact, I am pure British me, I'm ex-forces me, parachute regiment.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, who's up for me now?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Where do I go right now, this second? To where do I live?
I can't answer that question. I'm sorry, I can't do more for you, but I think you have a better idea than me. But I know what you're saying, and there are many, many people in the land who've experienced something like you. But the treasure I have is in heaven. My wife divorced me. I lost my home.
Did you?
Yes, yes, I did. I did. Yeah. And my family are in great straits. And
I can't know where you're coming from on that one.
Yeah, but Jesus is my saviour. He's an unshakable rock. He's an immovable place where I place my anchor.
Right.
Yep. And the other thing is this. Yes. The judge didn't find you guilty, and that is good. But there is a judge. There's a judge in heaven who says you are guilty. You're guilty of unbelief. You're guilty of hardness of heart. You're guilty of pride. You're guilty of lying or stealing, just as everybody passing here is. And God looks at the heart and he says, okay, you didn't steal one thing, but you've stolen from me. You've stolen the honor and the time and the glory that belongs to me. And we can never make that up. We need Jesus. We need forgiveness. If we find the Lord Jesus, we have the forgiveness of our sins and we have the salvation of God. I'm talking about somebody who is alive.
What happened with your divorce then? And that was a bit sticky.
Yes.
It hurt. Did you?
It hurt. Let's put it that way. It hurt.
Took everything.
But the Lord, God's love doesn't change towards us, and God's love didn't change towards me, and God's love is still determined towards me. You can lose everything in this world, but you can never lose the Lord Jesus Christ once you have him. And also, he loves his people. He cares for his people. He helps his people. This world is condemned. This world is condemned, and the Lord Jesus will soon return on the clouds of heaven. But there are many judgments that
you got a nice house now.
I don't. No, no. I live in a borrowed house. So
yeah.
So it's a complex thing, but essentially, the worst thing that could ever have happened to me is that my wife left me. She did.
Yeah.
But
you've been with her a long time.
Yes, 30 years. But life is cruel. Life is hard. Life is tough. We all know that.
Yeah.
But Jesus saved me 40 years ago, and he has never failed me. And his love determined towards me. He doesn't say, I'm going to stop loving you, David, because you've done X, Y, or Z. Once my sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ, they're forgiven forever.
Why do you need forgiving as well?
We're all sinners. Yes.
What have I done? What have you done wrong?
What haven't I done? Did I ever hate somebody? Yes, I did. So that counts as a sin of murder. Okay. Was I pride? I was stuffed full of pride. Alas, I still am. But pride is a terrible sin. Pride was a sin of the.
Somebody, did you? No.
But the Bible says that if we've got hatred in our hearts, we murder them in our hearts. And if we murder somebody in our hearts, God calls us a murderer.
I'm with this certain woman.
Yeah.
Right? I've been with her 9 years on and off.
Yeah.
And she's on this heroin malarkey.
Yeah.
And I don't do drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find it complicated. I try to stick with her.
Yeah.
I try to help her the best way I can.
Yeah.
And now is that giving? is that I've done everything I can for her.
Okay. But the answer is that the only person who can tell you the answer to that question is God. But if you're living with a woman outside of marriage, that's fornication. And there are many, many other sins. The first and most important thing is that you should strive to find the Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you know something? I'm going
to check. What was your name, my friend? Impressive. Thank you. Lord, have mercy on that man. Lord, have mercy on him. Bless him and deliver him from his sins. Help him to think about it and, oh Lord, convict him of his sin. Oh Lord, have mercy upon him. And Lord, have mercy on those many others who heard today, those two boys that took the Gospels, the others, Lord. Mercy on those two police officers who were kind and respectful, Lord. And I know that I owe that to other Gospel preachers here who suffered great opposition in order to win that freedom. Lord, I pray that you'd have mercy on the city of Hull. Now that we have freedom, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would have mercy on the city. And hello, hi. Thank you. Lovely lady just said bless you. And I hope she's a Christian, but she had a real joy on her face. So, but God looks at the heart, I guess. Father, have mercy and save sinners, I pray, and deliver us from the wrath to come. This untoward generation, this nation, have mercy, I pray. And this I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I'll just turn the sound file off first.